Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
I'd like for everyone to open their Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5 and then look up here. And while you're turning there, I want you to know that we're going to be kind of picking up with last week's theme. Sometimes you plan a series and sometimes you kind of roll into a series. And this is kind of a roll into a series on, as I mentioned last week, if you weren't here, the subject, the topic of humility is probably one of the top five most important spiritual principles that you could find in the Bible because of the impact that it has on our relationship with God. We're going to get right into it. I actually opened last week's message with this same verse. We're going to be reading about five or six verses and focusing on just two this week and the rest of them next week. But I want to go ahead and read very quickly to make the connection between last week and this week. So go ahead and put up the verses. The Bible says here, it says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders." Now there's an old-fashioned statement. "All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another," and let's read this together, "because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." Okay? This is a gigantic spiritual principle. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Now, if we would say this kind of in a kind of formulaic sense, could we jump to the other slide and then I want to come back to the verses? Here's what this means, and I want to say this up front, okay? To kind of bracket this whole conversation today. First of all, getting low equals access to grace. Standing proud equals resistance from God. Why is this so important? It's because if you want God to bless you, God wants to bless us, but you have to understand the nature and the character of God. You have to understand God's ways. You know, I learned after being married a short time, right? I learned that deep conversations are not really wise at 6 o'clock in the morning. You understand? It's like, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. At 6 o'clock in the morning, don't go, "Hey, honey, guess what God showed me?" It doesn't work like that. There's a wisdom. You got to know. That's part of relationships. Well, when it comes to your relationship with God, you have to understand this about Him. If you get low, you have access to the amazing riches of His grace and glory. But when we stand proud, we get resistance from God. And so this is a very, very powerful, very, very important biblical principle. Let's go back to the text now and keep reading. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Therefore, right, what does the Bible say? "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." In due time. Everyone say in due time. Okay? It's in due time. Let's keep going. "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Now, we're going to tackle these verses next week. But I wanted to put the complete thought, and I want to encourage you to go home and read this passage of Scripture, because you want to get this deep inside of your heart. I can't emphasize enough. You ever wonder why certain people are so blessed? Here's one of the main reasons. It's because certain people know they learn how to get their hearts low before God. You know, we joke around, there's a man named Nicky Cruz. How many know the Nicky Cruz story? Run, Nicky, Run actually took place in Brooklyn in the neighborhood that I grew up in, and I read that story like overnight. Nicky Cruz was a notorious gang leader who God saved, and then he became an evangelist. And I've had the privilege of actually talking to him before because of my in-laws. And my father-in-law told a story. This warrants this. This moment warrants this, and then we'll get into this. But he told a story about how he was overseas. And Nicky Cruz was not a super educated man. He's spoken to thousands upon thousands. I can't even imagine how many people he's spoken to over the last, you know, 30 or 40 years. And thousands upon thousands of people have gotten saved. And the thing is Nicky speaks with very broken English. I mean, his English is broken. And on top of that, he's kind of a funny, crazy guy. You know? He really is, you know? But when Nicky Cruz speaks, I experienced this and we were joking about this. He spoke at Brooklyn Tabernacle one day, and he was like, he got on a couple topics that he was struggling with the language in a significant way. I didn't know what he was talking about. Honestly, I didn't really know what he was talking about. But then he made the altar call. And I promise you, the pull of the Holy Spirit was so strong, I found myself on my face just crying before God at the altar. There was such a powerful anointing upon this man's life. Okay, so here's the story. So Pastor Simbla was sharing a room with him overseas at some huge crusade. And Pastor went out to, I don't know, go work out or something. And when he came back, Nicky Cruz was behind a wall and he could hear him praying. And he heard him like reaching out to God in deep desperation. And he said it sounded like almost like a four-year-old talking to God. And he said, then I understood why God used him so much. It's because of his ability to get so low before God. How many know? If we get low before God, in due time, He lifts us up. Now, I want to give you the two verses. I want to put them back up in the Good News Translation. In the Good News Translation, it's so powerful. It says, in the same way, you younger people must submit yourselves to your elders. And let's read this together. And all of you must put on the apron of humility. The title of my message today is The Apron of Humility. Because I can't think of a better description of this subject and this passage of Scripture. God has called us all to put on the apron of humility. And humility is like the act of putting an apron on when you're ready to serve. Now here's the thing, humility is not a put down or being put down. Humility is a bowing or getting low because of how we see God and ourselves. Some people think about humility as being put down, but that's not the case. Look at what Ian Blaylock said. We're going to pray in a moment. He said, God alone knows how to humble you without humiliating you and how to exalt you without flattering you. God does not want to humiliate you. That's not what we're talking about. This is not about God shaming and embarrassing his people. How many know that's not the character and the nature of our Heavenly Father? No. No. But what we're talking about is getting our hearts in the position for the Spirit of God to really flow to us and through us. That position is the position, the posture of humility. And so I want to pray right now that for the next few moments, God would really speak to us. How many want to learn about putting on the apron of humility? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and this time. And God, we're so blessed. We're so honored to be here in your house. God, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for accepting us and receiving us. The choir was so right when they sang, "You are holy." And God, if it wasn't for your blood and your mercy and your kindness, we wouldn't even be accepted in your presence. But we're so grateful for it. And Lord, we desire to be deeply connected to you and to live out a life that is deeply connected to you. And so, Lord, help us to embrace this very important principle of getting low, because when we get low, we have access, God. But when we stand proud, oh God, it creates a resistance. So, God, I pray this for every household, because every household here needs grace. Every single person, every husband, God, every wife, Lord, every teenager, God, all of our children, all of your people, God, we desperately need to get low before you. So bless this word now, I pray, by your mighty power. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Praise be to the living God. You know, if I could take just one more moment, the author of this book is Peter. Peter, as you know, had a real problem with humility. When Peter was walking with Christ, he said a lot of proud and arrogant things. He kind of had foot and mouth disease. He denied the Lord. And I believe two things really took this lesson and burned it on his heart. First of all, I believe that when Jesus was crucified, right after he denied him, okay, see, the denial of Christ was so deep because Peter actually thought that he could do it in his own strength. But how many know we can't do it in our own strength? This message is coming from a man who learned that we can't do it in our own strength. The other thing that I believe really burned this into him is that after Jesus rose from the dead, he told the disciples, "Tell Peter I'm coming to see him." And he met Peter at the beach. And he said, "Peter, you know, do you love me?" You know, and Peter said, "Yes, I love you." And he told him what he was called to do. He said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." But he reinstated Peter. You know, he didn't say, "Peter, you rejected me. Get out of my face." No, he said, "Peter, I'm using you. I'm going to use you to help to shepherd my people. I want you to love on my people the same way I'm loving on you. I want you to feed my people the same way I'm feeding you. I want you to serve my people. You're going to stretch out your hands and die just like I did, Peter. That's what's going to happen. You're not going to do what you want to do. You're going to go and live in my perfect will." Peter learned this message from experience. This is a message that comes from life, not just talking. This is a powerful message that comes from life. Now, the interesting thing about this passage of Scripture is that it has a unique order, because I'll read it to you again in a moment, but on one side, the first thing it says is, "Humble you young people, submit yourself to your elders." Then it says, "Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God." Now, you would say, wait a second, the order is wrong. You humble yourself before God first, and then you humble yourself before people. But Andrew Murray said something really, really powerful, okay? Andrew Murray said, humility towards men will be the only sufficient proof that our humility before God is real. And the reason that this passage of Scripture, we're going to go over this, this passage of Scripture says, humble yourself, submit to one another first before men, is because it is the actual evidence. It's almost like another passage of Scripture talks about love. It says, how could you say you love God if you don't love your brother? You can't see God. How could you say God who say you love God who you can't see when you don't love your brother who you can see? This is practical, real deal Christianity 101. This is kind of like where we live, rubber meets the road, kind of Christianity and teaching. And so what do these few verses say to us? How does he tell us that we should put on the apron of humility? Well, first of all, we put on the apron of humility before people. We put on the apron of humility before people. We display humility before people. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Submit yourselves to your elders. Now, I know that that is archaic and old-fashioned, but how many know this is true? This is just flat-out true. Okay? And by the way, no matter what age bracket you find yourself in, there's always someone older than you. And when you talk to someone older than you, how many know we should submit ourselves? Now, the classic meaning of submission means to take your place or rank under, to be subject to an elder, to yield to their governance or authority. That's the classic meaning. Here's the practical meaning. I want to put that up. Submission means to honor the gift of age, experience, and love which God places over us. So God places a gift of age, experience, and love. When you think about parents, okay, our parents typically are a gift of age, experience, and love wrapped together. You know, how many of us parents have said to our kids, I'm telling you this because I love you. Plus, I already been there and done that. I've been there and done that. And it's important for us to teach our children humility. If you're a young person here, if you're a teenager or you're a college age student or you might in your late 20s or early 30s or whatever, I want to encourage you to never forget the importance of submitting to people that are older than us. And by the way, when we submit to our elders, it also implies our spiritual elders. Because if someone is further along in God than you are, it doesn't matter what their age is. He spoke to Timothy and said, Timothy, listen, don't let the people despise you because you are young. Timothy was a young pastor, but how many know they needed to submit to his spiritual leadership? We miss out tremendously when we don't humble ourselves before our elders. It's an incredible thing when you go to make big decisions, guys. When you go to make big decisions, I want to encourage you. It doesn't matter how old you are. You know, I'm 50 years old. We go to make a big decision. I call my in-laws. I call my parents. A lot of times my parents don't even have a clue about what we're doing with ministry, but I still call them. You know why? Because when people have been around, they've been around. And they come with an angle sometimes that you don't even think about. You don't even, it's like, oh, I didn't see that one. Well, you can't see that one. How many know you can't be 40 when you're 20? So wouldn't it be wiser to listen to the one who's already done that? It's a strange experience to talk to someone. This actually is on staff for me. It's like, I was a freshman in college when you were born. Oh, my land. This is a very important principle. And look, the world is not into this. But how many know, Christians, we should be into this. Can I get an amen? Very, very important. We have to, we humble ourselves before people. And the first line of that is that we display humility by submitting to our elders. That should not be a foreign thing in the church of Jesus Christ. Okay? Our kids need to learn how to respect, and we need to learn how to walk in respect. We need to learn how to live in respect. Respect is a big deal to God. And if you don't respect people, how many know, don't say that you respect God. If you don't respect spiritual authorities, don't say that you respect God. You know, if you're disrespecting constantly people that God puts over you, you may think that you respect God, but how many know you don't respect God? And even when it comes to tough conversations, there's a way to make an appeal to people in authority over your life, as opposed to say, who cares? Now, secondly, along that same line, when it comes to humbling ourselves before people, we display humility by submitting to elders, and then secondly, we display humility by taking on the role of a servant. We take on the role of a servant. Could you put the text back up for me? It says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. And then watch, it says, all of you, clothe yourselves. Everyone say, clothe yourselves. With humility towards one another. Part two of this is that we clothe ourselves. In the Good News Translation, it means put on the apron. Now, I actually have an apron here. And I am an amateur cook. It's kind of become a hobby. And, you know, I had a really nice apron. And I know my wife is in New York preaching. And if she would have saw me grab this apron, she would have been really upset. She said, take the nice apron. Don't take that nasty looking. But you know, how many know serving is kind of yucky and dirty? Okay? And this passage of Scripture literally talks about the fact that when you put on an apron, right, it refers to putting something on where you tie a knot, so that you're ready to do what? To serve. To serve. A big part of humility really speaks to when you wake up in the morning, how you clothe yourself. What this says is that when you and I wake up in the morning, we're supposed to put on the apron of what? Humility. The Bible talks about this apron also, the context of this was the apron of a slave. When Jesus was at the Last Supper, he took off his clothing and he put on an apron. That was the apron of a slave. And he washed their feet. And Peter was the one, no, Lord, you can't do it. But then he learned. He learned, this is rich. This is real. Peter learned and he said, my Lord, put on the apron and he washed my own feet. And now that my eyes really see what I'm supposed to see, I want to put that same apron on every single day of my life. And I want to serve in his kingdom. I want to serve my family. I want to serve the people of God. This is true. Christianity that is blessed by the Lord. You know, it was powerful. This past week was so powerful because as I was just watching, I mean, I really didn't do anything this week. It was just awesome though to watch the body of Christ in action. It was so amazing. And on Friday, I'll start with Friday. On Friday, the last thing, I saw two things. The last thing I saw on Friday before I walked out of here, and it was, you know, kind of mostly empty. But as I was walking out, I saw one of our guys, Julio, one of our security guys, and he was standing in the middle of the parking lot. The kids were still almost being picked up, not all of them, and he was just standing in the middle of the parking lot like this. And the kids were like playing around and stand, and he was like this, and he was looking, right? And here was this man was on post. And the security guards, it was at one point, I just started laughing because I came into like a pre-security meeting. I think Brother Bob was kind of over them, and it was James Ford and Brian, and we had three huge basketball guys, like two guys are professional basketball players. James refs, you know, in the NCAA. James is like, what are you, 6'4"? 6'5"? Stand up a second. Look how big this brother is, right? How many know they ain't coming in if they got to get through that guy right there, right? Thanks, brother. So look, it was them. Then over here, there was a Chicago, a CPD police officer, detective was standing over there. I was like, this is amazing security. And all of these things were on, and they were just on post. All over the building. Everywhere you went, there was a security guard on post wearing the apron of service. It was so powerful. It was so powerful to see the workers. And there was one brother, Kevin, right? Kevin Gustafson. And he's an attorney or something like that. I don't know. He's a pretty successful guy. He had on all week, right? I was imagining, where does this guy go to work? All week, he had on this red wig with ears, and he was like hopping around like this. It's crazy. And I watched him. It was unbelievable watching him among all of the others. Not to mention, the hours upon hours. How many know? Did you guys see that dragon? That thing was awesome. Well, let me tell you, building that and all the sets, it's been hours, late nights. If you participated, if you served in KWA, would you stand any form or fashion? Would you stand right now? Come on. Hallelujah. Here's what I want to say to you. I want to say to you, on behalf of the Lord. Okay, if you read all of chapter 5, it talks about the fact that the good shepherd, the great shepherd, is coming one day. So in advance, I want to thank you for putting on the apron of service for our children. Come on, let's praise God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. And so it means that you wake up in the morning and you recognize that your life is not your own, because our main call, regardless of what we do, regardless of where you go to work, how many know we are called to be what? Servants. The greatest among you will be what? The servant of all. The servant of all. Listen to this. Jesus found his glory, and taking the form of a servant, no, Jesus found his glory in taking on the form of a servant. So when he said to us, whosoever would be the first among you shall be your servant, he simply taught us the blessed truth that there is nothing so divine and heavenly as being the servant and helper of all. There is nothing so divine and heavenly as being the servant and helper of all. Imagine how this would impact our marriages if we woke up in the morning and we put on the apron of a servant. Imagine how this would impact us on our jobs. Imagine how it would impact our relationships if everyone just put on the apron of what? A servant. When you put on the apron of a servant, you're putting on the apron of humility. Such a very, very powerful thing. And so humility manifests itself in the way we see ourselves, first of all, before people. Do you see yourself as a servant of people, or is everybody supposed to serve you? It's a powerful question. Now, there's two sides. We display humility before God, this passage teaches us, before people, and then also we display humility before God. It's humility before God. Look at what it says. It says, let's read this together, everyone. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. In due time. So when you talk about humility, it's humility before people, and then obviously, it's humility before God. It means that we place ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That phrase, the mighty hand of God, was really common in the Old Testament. And it was reflective of how God dealt with the nation of Israel. How many know they were slaves, but by the mighty hand of God, he delivered them. By the mighty hand of God, he carried them out. By the mighty hand of God, he grew them and developed them and formed them into a nation. Everything that was good about their experience, their deliverance from slavery, how many know all of it was by the mighty hand of God? It was God from start to finish. It was Philippians that says, he who begins the good work in us is the one that carries it on to what? Completion. God doesn't begin a good work in us and then we got to carry it on. How many know he's got to start it? And how many know today for sure, oh Lord, you got to finish this thing because I will mess it up royally. How many would say amen? Okay. So now, what does it mean to place yourself under his mighty hand? Okay? Speaks to three things to come under his mighty hand. If I could put that up. Okay? To put yourself under the mighty hand of God means that you place yourself under God's agency, number one. It's a multifaceted word. Under his charge. And thirdly, under his grasp. His agency, his charge, and his grasp. And here's the gist of what that means. When you place yourself under the mighty, how many know the hand of God is not a weak hand, it's a mighty hand. It's a powerful hand. It is the all-powerful hand of the universe. You realize, without the hand of God, there wouldn't be, nothing would be here. It's by the hand of God. He says, come under that hand. Okay? When you do that, first of all, you come under his agency. Now, I love this word. The word agency means that you live your life as if God is your agent. How many would love to have an agent? You talk to the pro basketball players here, you'll have a conversation, and they might say, well, my agent said, you know. How many know we do have an agent? How many know God is our agent? He's the one who represents us. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, instead of representing yourself all the time, you go to God, and God becomes the negotiator. God becomes the one who opens the doors and signs the contract or makes the contracts. How many know He's able to work all of those things out on our behalf? What an amazing idea to think God is our agent. God is the one who takes care of all of those things. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:10, that we are His workmanship, or we are His masterpiece, in the New Living Translation. And He has prepared in advance good works for us to do. And those good works will bring glory and honor to His name. And that means that God is able to show us, to lead us, to guide us directly into all of the blessing and joy and peace that He desires. How many would say, amen, God, You're the best agent. If you're here today and you're representing yourself all the time, stop. You're going to wreck your life. Are you kidding? You think you can negotiate better than God? How many know God doesn't even have to negotiate? He said, this right here, that's what it is. How many know when God says this is the deal? How many know that is the deal? We come under His agency. We come under His total control. Then the word charge means to come under His care. Okay? So it's sort of like this. It's sort of like if you have a babysitter for your kids and you're going to go out, the babysitter comes and you put them in what? And when the babysitter's in charge, the kids are under their care. And so God is not just our representative, but He's the one who takes care of us. And what that means is in this coming week or maybe last week, you didn't get what you want. Things didn't go the way that you wanted it. How many know we could just lay, we don't have to stand up and fight and say, I want. We don't have to do that. We just stay low under the mighty hand of God. Because we know, how many know God's care plan is a perfect plan for our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this is a tough, that moment that's, we hesitate with that. We hesitate. You know why? Because we struggle with turning the reins over to God. He really does care. He really does care. Let me go to this last one. Singers, if you could come, and then we'll make the connection. Actually, these three are like a braid almost. So the last one is grasp. And grasp means that because He's our representative, we rest under His care, then we know that we can remain in His grasp and we don't have to go out on our own. We don't have to go out on our own. This is a spiritual thing I'm talking about, and here's the thing. What do you mean by go out on our own? You mean when I wake up in the morning tomorrow, I got to ask God to go to work or where I'm going to go to lunch? Is that what I'm talking about? Come on, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those moments where if you love God and you serve God and you want to honor God, I'm talking about those moments when the Holy Spirit says, I got you, stop trying to take charge of this thing. I'm talking about letting the Holy Spirit choose for you. I'm talking about letting the Holy Spirit satisfy your desires instead of saying, I'm going to grab hold of this thing. No. I'm in God's hands. God has me. I don't have to grab anything. God has grabbed me. How many people are thankful that God grabbed you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you a question. Are you squirming today in the hand of God? Are you squirming just because it's not going your way? Maybe God wants you to learn a lesson. Maybe He's trying to teach you something. Maybe there's something He wants to get into your heart and in your mind, and then it'll just be over. And you'll move on into the fruitfulness, into the blessing that God has for you. Don't squirm. Listen to what William Barclay said. He said, "The Christian never resents the experiences of life and never rebels against them because he knows that the mighty hand of God is on the tiller of his life and that he has a destiny for him." We don't have to squirm. We don't have to resent. We don't have to rebel. We just rest. We just say, "God, there's no better place than to be in the hand of God." You know why? Here's the powerful, amazing, awesome news. It's because in due time, everyone say in due time. In due time. See, I want to close with this. Don't ever think for a second that God does not want to bless you. If you think that God doesn't want to bless you, you're thinking wrong about God. If you think that God doesn't want you to experience joy unspeakable and full of glory, you're thinking wrong about God. You got to get your head screwed on straight. The problem is never God. But in the wisdom of God, in the plan of God, there is a due time. But how many know in due time, He promises that He will lift us up. And then we can say, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head." How many know He is the lifter of our heads? Could we put our hands together? Take the hand of the person next to you right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we pray for that due time today. God, we want to be like You, Lord Jesus. You took on the form of a servant. You emptied Yourself of all of the glories of heaven, O God, for our sake, O God, to lead the way, O God. But in due time, Lord, the Heavenly Father exalted You, Lord, and gave You the name that is above all names, seating You at the right hand of the Father. And God, we pray today to the left and to the right. God, help us to get low. And God, give grace. Pour Your Spirit out of people. Feel pressure today. People are struggling today. Father, our brothers and sisters are in great battles, oh God. There are wives that are in battles, mothers that are in battles, husbands that are in battles, kids, oh God. God, wherever we find ourselves, whatever station of life, God, help us to get under the mighty hand of God. Because God, in due time, we thank You now that in due time You will lift us up. You will bless us, oh God. You will bless us. And we're happy and satisfied. We wait patiently. Do whatever You need to do in us, oh God. And we thank You because we know You're going to bless us. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, come on, let's clap and praise Him. Hallelujah.